Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's April the 16th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, there's no farm bill and no long-term extension of the farm bill on the horizon. And the administration rides to the aid of ethanol in the food be fuel debate. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will be along too. That'll happen just after the bottom of the hour when he'll help us take a look at the agricultural weather for the day. And we'll hear from Illinois State Representative Bill Black in Danville. He was highly disappointed with the Blagojevich administration's role in this morning's special hearing on agricultural funding issues that took place in Springfield. That all happens this afternoon right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, a broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finish the day like this. The nearby May wheat for the day at 924.5, 28 and 3 quarters higher. July at 939, up 28.5 on the day. And the corn futures finished at 603.5, down 2.5 cents in the May. July futures at $6.17, 2.5 cents lower. May beans at 1344 and 3 quarters, 35 and a quarter lower. July at 1361, down 36 cents. May bean meal at 340, down 880. And the May bean oil for the day finished at 61.53. It was down 99 cents on the afternoon. The outside markets are actually the mercantile exchange numbers. April live cattle today at $90.50, a settlement price there at 57 higher. June futures at 91.65, 7.5 cents higher. April feeders at $100.40, 25 cents higher. And the May contract at 104.20. They finished up 25 cents. May lean hog futures at 71.72.5, 7.5 cents higher. June futures at $73.97.5 at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange finished down 12.5 cents on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Please visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Anytime you'd like, you can hear the Closing Market Report. Outside markets for the day, nearby May crude oil at $115, a new record high price there in the crude, $1.21 higher for the day. June futures up $1.33 at $114.55. The CRB index at 417.92, up 256. The dollar trading at 71.39, that's down 0.62 for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,560 now stands just about 198 points higher on the afternoon. April gold futures trading at $945.10, up $16.40 an ounce, and the May contract at $946, up $16.30. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. Normally, we'd think a wind advisory wouldn't be that great, but it sure is nice when you're trying to dry out soils. In fact, a wind advisory in effect in portions of central and western Illinois from 10 o'clock this morning right on through 7 o'clock this evening. Our own Mike Solis says tonight the forecast in the two-state regions calling in the northwestern and far western parts of Illinois for partly cloudy skies, a chance of some scattered showers, a few isolated thunderstorms arriving overnight. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy, lows between 45 and 50. Tomorrow in northern and central and northwestern Indiana, partly to mostly cloudy skies, some scattered showers there, a few thunderstorms, most numerous near the Mississippi River. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny, highs will range tomorrow from 55 in northwestern Illinois to 75 in the southern parts of Indiana. Today, the strong winds should draw most of that moisture or some moisture out of the saturated soils of Illinois and Indiana. Sustained winds will range between 15 and 30 miles an hour. Gusts during the afternoon should surpass 40 miles an hour, especially in the north and the west for the day. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from WILL and the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us on the Closing Market Report today to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd. Nice to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. I was in Springfield for the ag hearings this morning, and I must say that across the board, the members of both the House and Senate Ag and Conservation Committees ended that programming by simply saying they were not very happy and a little disgusted, I suppose, with the Blagojevich administration, but we'll hear more about that later in the program. Representative Bill Black of Danville talked to me this morning, and we'll hear a portion of that conversation. We can take it up later, but of course, those issues important to folks in the state of Illinois. University of Illinois Extension, whom I am employed by, is involved in that, along with the Soil and Water Conservation Districts, the Illinois Department of Agriculture, the DNR, which is the Division of Natural Resources, and a whole bunch of other folks that are involved in agriculture, including the Fertilizer Research and Education Council, or FREC. And those are all involved in what's been happening in Chicago as well in one way or another, and talking about the commodity markets. Why don't you tell me what happened today there?
Of course, we always, growing up on a farm in a small farming community in East Central Illinois, 4-H was also a very important item in our conversation in rural America. The marketplace started off with a bang, and then we did see some price erosion in crude oil. And bean oil went down, and then the soybeans. We were all very aggressively searching and tearing apart every news wire, that we could find to see if there was anything else going on. The market's been basically on a nonstop rally for several weeks now, and to some extent, with the energy factor and demand and the small carryover, it's been probably a legitimate reason. Then around the midday part of the broadcast or the day, we got word that some of the private weather forecast models were indicating a cold shot of air into the wheat country, and that could possibly do some damage. And then the wheat basically led a lot of the parade up, and the energy finally closed higher today. But the soybeans closed negative, maybe from an overbought situation. One of the things from a philosophical point of view, we are getting some very deep questions about should we hold soybeans, should we sell them, why are we so high? And but in the meantime, this weather forecast is fairly wet this week. Next week, the winter wheat area also looks like it's going to get a nice drink of water. And the commodity world closed rather mixed today.
I think on my way back from Springfield, I saw at least two semis being loaded out today with corn. Good time to sell cash corn?
You know, probably not, Todd. We're in the camp that somewhere along the line corn acreage needs to go up, and the whole acreage mix is probably 4 to 6 million acres short. Some of the guys that we have the most confidence in feel that $6 to $6.50, maybe $6 to $7 trading range in corn. The livestock industry is definitely going to get hurt here. On CNBC, they had a wonderful interview with Ed Schaefer, and he is a very articulate, very sharp individual, and he does realize the importance of more acres, and they hit him pretty hard on CRP and also energy and things like that. So, we do have a Secretary of Agriculture that is, battling a pretty big battle out in Washington. One, of course, is the new farm bill. But the marketplace took a little breather here, and probably not totally unexpected for Wednesday.
Any final word before I let you go?
Have a profitable day, and hopefully sometime in here we'll get the corn planted.
Thank you much, Paul. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, joins us on the Closing Mark Report each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
Dave Dickey will be here in just a moment to take a complete look at the agricultural newscast for the day. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In agricultural news, the chairman of the Senate and House Agriculture Committees say there will not be a long-term extension of the 2002 Farm Bill. Conferees say that today is a make-or-break day for the stalled legislation. The continuing problem is finding adequate funding for the measure that is acceptable to the House, the Senate, and the Bush administration. If there is no funding agreement, and if long- and short-term extensions are off the table, Congress has two options. Let the current Farm Bill expire, in which case antiquated 1949 laws would go into effect, or pass a baseline farm bill with no spending increases. Senior Bush administration officials defended corn-based ethanol fuel yesterday, saying it was one factor in rising food prices, but that high energy costs were the main culprit. U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says, quote, "We have an energy and a food problem. The food problem relates not from biofuels, but from simply the costs of energy in terms of fertilizer and in terms of transportation costs for food." Meanwhile, USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer noted that 1 million acres are coming out of the CRP this year and 4.5 million acres next year. But USDA is not sure if the land is going to be re-enrolled. In Schaefer's words, the reality is if you planted all of that into corn, you might affect the price maybe 20 cents. Pilgrim's Pride says it will reduce weekly chicken processing by 5% compared with last year's level and may close a second plant due to heavy costs for corn and soybean meal. For its fiscal year that ends in September, Pilgrim's Pride estimates its total costs for corn and soybean meal will be $1.3 billion higher than in fiscal year 2006. For the quarter ending December 29th, the company posted a loss of $32.3 million. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week. One addendum to the newscast: late this morning, the House did pass a one-week extension of the current Farm Bill, hoping to give Congress more time to complete the measure. The Senate is expected to take up the extension this afternoon. USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer says the president may approve a one-week extension if significant progress is made today and tomorrow on the Farm Bill. Now, up next, as you already know, we'll move from Washington to Springfield. The governor's office in Illinois has decided not to release a whole series of funding for agricultural and natural resource issues in the state. Extension, the Soil and Water Conservation Districts, and Parks and Recreation are all affected. Ag constituents rallied in the state capitol this morning at a joint hearing of the House and Senate Ag and Conservation Committees. Representative Bill Black of Danville was there. I asked him what he learned and how he felt about the performance of the governor's representative from the Office of Management and Budget.
Well, it's a nice exercise, but it's like watching my dog chase its tail. At the end of the day, it might be amusing, but it doesn't get anywhere. We don't get answers. I had a simple question. Why are you keeping the feed and fertilizer dealers' checkoff money and not releasing it as the law requires? It is not state money. I mean, why would you hold money that doesn't belong to the state? And I don't get an answer. It just, well, we didn't anticipate the shortfall and the OSLAD grant, the transfer tax isn't generating enough money. Well, as someone else asked, then why don't you tell people what they can expect? Can they expect zero? Can they expect 50%? And in the case of the Feed and Fertilizer Dealers Association, why don't you tell them why you are not releasing their own money for the purpose that was established by statute? It just doesn't make any sense unless you want to hold all this money, make interest off of it, or keep a balance so at the end of the fiscal year you can say, well, we finished the year in pretty good shape. That's just smoke and mirrors. And it isn't working, it hasn't worked, and it's beginning now to collapse.
You think there are other reasons that they might keep FREC beyond the two that you suggested? Is there a political battle somewhere else in the state capital that this could be related to?
You know, I have no idea. This is a fund that is set up to try and do research on how we eliminate nitrates from our water system, how we get to more green type of fertilizers. I don't see any political agenda or environmental agenda that I can find out why you wouldn't release the money, why you're not willing to make investments in agriculture, which is basically agribusiness is a huge industry in Illinois. And we just don't get answers. I think you've heard today why we get so frustrated. You ask them a microeconomic question, and you get a macro, non-economic answer. Yeah, I know we're in a slower economy, but the money was appropriated and is there. Are you just going to hold it until the end of the year? You know, if so, people will understand that. Just tell us what your plan is, rather than just tell people you're not going to get your money. It just doesn't make any sense the way they choose to do things around here.
Well, of course, that would work with FREC, where they actually have the money in hand.
Right.
Other places, they're expecting a $750 million shortfall. How do you feel about the $18 million budget cut for University of Illinois Extension and the potential of losing all that county match money?
Well, it doesn't make any sense. The appropriation is there. And then to fail to take advantage of federal and local dollars to run that program, then you have a net loss. But if you intend not to spend the money and give a reason why, most people will make adjustments. But we can't get a straight answer out of them. Are you not going to release it at all in this fiscal year? Are you going to release a portion of it? Are you going to make cuts, a percentage cut across the board to each extension center? We don't get an answer. We just don't have the money. Yeah, you have the money. It's appropriated. It's in the budget. If you choose not to spend it, then just be honest and upfront and tell people, because of budgetary problems, we are freezing the money until the end of the fiscal year, at which time we may prorate money to those centers so that they can make decisions. Do we borrow money? Do we try and go into a cutback mode until we can get the money? How much money do you think you can let us have at the end of the fiscal year? Nobody gets these answers. And so you're faced with either a complete shutdown and layoff or trying to borrow money in the hopes that by the middle of June you'll get some of your money. And if you guess wrong, then you could be in serious financial trouble and never open again.
Why the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Natural Resources, do you suppose, why were those two targeted by the governor's office and the OMB?
Well, you know, I tell you what, and I hate to be paranoid, but I'm getting that way. They're largely downstate. I think they are perceived to be downstate programs. I don't think many people in his administration completely understand agribusiness, even though the Chicago Board of Exchange is a major economic factor in the city of Chicago. I don't think they understand state parks and state recreation areas. They're familiar with the Chicago Park District. They're familiar with the Cook County Forest Preserve. I don't think they have any idea. This governor, to my knowledge, has never visited a state park. I have a standing invitation for him to visit Kickapoo. We're down to three people trying to manage 4,000 acres. You can't do it. I got a number of complaints last year from campers at Kickapoo. The showers weren't clean. The toilets weren't clean. Well, we don't have any staff. Now they want you to pay more money for campgrounds that may not be mowed. it just, and you know, why not have a committee of the whole explain the situation that we're in, have the governor explain it, and have him explain to the General Assembly and to the people, here's my problem, here's what I intend to do about it. No, this just dribbles out one rumor at a time. We never did get an answer today. Are they going to stop county fair funding? That's the rumor, but they won't confirm it. They won't deny it. But yet they can find $25 million to replace the electrical wiring system at the state fairgrounds. Now, granted, they had to do that. Where'd they get the $25 million? They found $1 million to give to some school when they intended to give it to the Pilgrim Baptist Church that burnt down, and there was a pardon. I mean, this thing really doesn't smell very good, and now they're trying to find $1 million to give to Pilgrim Baptist Church. And yet Ginger just said, we don't have any money, we don't have any money. Somebody asked, have you expanded programs? She wouldn't answer it. Yes, they have. And what did a judge do yesterday? The judge said, you cannot continue to expand family care without the explicit authority of the Illinois General Assembly as per the Illinois Constitution. So, yes, they have been expanding programs, transferring money that was not appropriated for that purpose, and now they act like, gee, we can't figure out why we're running short of money. It's the most frustrating thing I've ever been through. And many of those people said to us in the General Assembly, you need to get together and release that money. And we can't. We have released it. We did pass a budget. If the budget is completely out of balance, as the governor has indicated, what did he do with the $480 million that he vetoed? Would not that money be available for other purposes? It's just a complete lack of honest discourse, lack of trust, and it just contributes to what you know is already here, and that's a completely dysfunctional process in Springfield. It's embarrassing.
Representative Black, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Illinois State Representative Bill Black of Danville. He and many others participated in this morning's special hearings on the budget cuts facing the Illinois Department of Agriculture, University of Illinois Extension, Soil and Water Conservation Districts, FREC, and the Illinois Department of Natural Resources.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Joining us now for a very quick look at the cash grain market is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Hi, Kay.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's a beautiful day, but I guess we're going to get more rain. Farmers sell you any cash grain today?
Believe it or not, they're a very good barometer sometimes of what the market may do. And since we made new cash highs in corn and gained a lot back since planting intentions in beans, they really stepped up to the plate, started selling a lot day before yesterday, yesterday and this morning. And, they did really, really well, and so they took a little profit today. But we're going to see this the rest of the year, no doubt.
I took too much time for myself today. Any quick word on basis and then your numbers, please?
I will just say quickly that the processor still far outpaces the southeast basis. Elevators are just pumping trains down there as fast as you can get them out of here. So really and truthfully, Todd, the basis level still remains stagnant on rail. And our cash corn today is $5.77, cash beans $13 on the nose, and new crop wheat is $7.29.
Thanks much, Kay.
Thank you, Todd.
Kay Whitlock with Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. We'll be back in 2 minutes with a look at the agricultural weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Advocates lined up in Springfield this morning to complain about the governor's plans to cut money from agriculture programs. Governor Al Blagojevich is threatening to withhold money from research programs, county extension offices, and more. Critics say that could mean layoffs and cuts to the 4-H youth program. The governor's office responded this morning that the state budget is running a $750 million deficit that must be filled. Aides say the cuts will take place unless lawmakers give the governor power to dip into special funds. Lawmakers say the governor's tactics amount to blackmail so that he can get money to expand health care programs. At least two Champaign County board members say they would consider continuing lending money to the struggling county nursing home if there are signs of financial progress. Board members gathered last night to brainstorm over the nursing home's future, finding ways to cut costs and bring in more money. The University of Illinois Law School has its second interim dean in as many years. Professor Ralph Brubaker will take over for Charles Tabb as the U of I continues its search for a permanent dean. Law school spokesman Dave Johnson says a new dean is expected to be named sometime this fall after the university decided to reconstitute its search last year. Brubaker has been with the university for 4 years and is considered one of the nation's leading bankruptcy scholars. The Indiana Court of Appeals says a teacher accused of slapping a student is protected from battery charges by Indiana's corporal punishment laws. The ruling upholds a Marion County judge's dismissal last year of charges against Paula Fettig. 23 people have been named as heroes and helping hands by the city of Champaign. They include two men who were involved in a frightening accident last December involving a gasoline tanker truck on Champaign's Bradley Avenue. Trucker David Hudson says he swerved out to the street to avoid hitting a minivan that had crossed his path. The truck rolled over, spilled some of its contents, but MTD bus driver George McCoppin pulled him out of the wreckage. Hudson is still recovering from his injuries. Both were given awards from the city last night. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now on a Wednesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather in the Midwest. I was out across a good portion of the middle part of the state, and boy, I got to tell you, the winds are helping out a whole lot. Will we stay dry?
Well, probably not. It does look like we have another round of storminess headed into the area. This is already forming out there in the plains here this afternoon, and it will come across into the western part of the Corn Belt, probably Iowa and Missouri, as we get into the day tomorrow, with a little bit of shower activity maybe in a small part of western and northern Illinois tomorrow. But I think most of the rain will occur as we go tomorrow night into Friday, and we'll see showers and thunderstorms occur across the entire eastern part of the Corn Belt from that point onward, ending sometime on Saturday. We'll end up with moisture totals running anywhere from a couple of tenths up to three-quarters of an inch most commonly, but I do think some areas in northern Illinois, southern Wisconsin, and a few spots from northwest Indiana into western Michigan may end up with some 1 to 2 inch totals. The storm system will weaken as it goes further to the east. We actually should see some aggressive field work take place in parts of Ohio over the next 2 or 3 days. The soil is in pretty good shape right now, and some areas in Ohio and immediately next door will probably see a good 2 or 3 days' worth of additional field work. But this storm system will only produce a light amount of precipitation there, and I think that the producers will be right back at it working those fields again later in the weekend. The next round of precipitation will show up as we go into next week, and it looks like we'll see a complex storm system bringing in much colder air taking place across the Midwest. This will start probably sometime Monday in the western Corn Belt, work its way eastward across the region, so that Wednesday and Thursday of next week will probably be the wetter days.
And then I guess we'll get started on the planting season at this point. Really, you know, we took a look at the numbers from Illinois, and it said 9%. There's a five-year rolling average there, and there's 1 year where, well, it was 2005, the drought year, that really pulled it up. They were 32%. But I think last year, Illinois was 0% planted as of the last crop report. You think we'll catch up? I heard Brad Schwab say about a week and a half behind, you know, despite we're at zero, about a week and a half really behind at this point. Will we get an opportunity to catch up or stay that far behind?
I think that we will do a little bit better, but I don't want to imply that we're going to be back to where we should be relative to the five-year average. I think we'll continue being behind the pace a bit. Not only in Illinois, but probably parts of Missouri, southeast Iowa, and some immediate neighboring areas. Areas to the east and to the northwest probably will do a little bit better when their growing season comes around.
Better check in on some other spots around the world. What do you see?
Well, I think we're watching right now the development of some dryness in the New Lands region of the former Soviet Union. This is from the Ural Mountains eastward. We'll keep a close eye on that over the next few weeks. It's not an issue today, but I don't see a lot of rain coming, and I see a lot of warmth. Outside of that, Australia is still waiting on seasonal rains to start planting its canola, wheat, and barley. They will probably have to wait a little while longer, but I'm fully confident that they're going to see the rain that they need in time to support the crop.
Drew, we appreciate you taking the time today.
All right, thank you, and have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember, you can listen to it again anytime you'd like right there on our website. The address, WILLAG.org. Stay safe out there this growing season. I'm Todd Gleason.